Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. I know we read it yesterday, but we're going to read it again. But today, we're going to start the teachings on it. Luke chapter 1. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word have handed them down to us, it seems fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you might know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and a wife from the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. And they're both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it came about while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. And it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their proper time." And the people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And it came about when the days of his priestly service were ended that he went back home. And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant. And she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." And she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring should be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now at this time, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it came about when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear Him. He has done mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who are humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, His servant, in remembrance of His mercy. He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed His great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it came about on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. And his mother answered and said, "No, indeed he shall be called John." And they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by that name." And they made signs to his father as what he wanted him called. And he asked for a tablet, and he wrote as follows, "His name is John." And they were all astonished. And at once his mouth was open and his tongue loose, and he began to speak in praise of God. And fear came on all those living around them, and all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them kept in mind, saying, "What then will this child turn out to be?" For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David his servant, and he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, for which the sunrise from on high shall visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child continued to grow and to become strong in spirit, and to live in the deserts until the day of his public appearance." Amen. Wow. Okay, let's do this. First thing we see, again, we talked about yesterday, there are many different written accounts of Jesus by this time. This is roughly considered about 30 years after his death. So there's all these accounts, and Luke, being a very skilled, educated man, he's able to compile all these things, and he gets a firsthand account from first-hand people. It's a second account, but you'll notice there's some richness in getting these accounts. So, like, you'll notice a lot of intricate details about Jesus' birth, about Jesus' childhood, all these things. Where do you think he got that account from? Most likely from Mary. You'll see little phrases like, "She pondered these things in her heart." How would he know what she pondered unless Mary, and remember, they were both in the same church for a period of time in Ephesus. And so Mary probably is the one who gave him the firsthand account, which goes into the richness of the details that are given here. Again, Theophilus is probably written to everybody, or it most likely was one high-ranking Roman official. And thus goes by the name, he calls him the most excellent Theophilus, which was a Roman greeting of someone of high importance. And so that's most likely the case. I told you the other day or yesterday that most likely this whole account was really a cover letter or a cover statement of Paul's defense. And so this was a statement written out for his defense in Rome. And so that's one of the popular theories. But let's move on a little bit, and let's get to a couple parallels we can see. They're kind of important in this topic, in this text. In chapter 1, we have the, and this is something that Luke will use a lot. And we're going to talk at length about one thing, but I want to parallel Zacharias and Mary. And so both, or he does it very skillfully. It's the same account. You can actually take it line by line, and it's so clear. Gabriel shows up. They get afraid. He says, "Don't be afraid." And then he says something. And then they respond with a question. And then Gabriel responds to that question either with a rebuke or with a blessing. And so we break this down, okay? So Zechariah shows, angel shows up. Now Zechariah, he's very fortunate. This is like the time of his life. During this time, there were basically 24 groups of people that were in charge of the temple service. And he just by chance happens to be in the one of the 24 that is in charge of burning regarding the temple here. And then on top of that, he gets his lot chosen. So, you know, they choose lots, and he's picked to go into the holy place to burn incense before the Lord. And so this is like the lucky, for him as a priest, this is like he's the luckiest guy alive. Not only is in this time his tribe chosen, his particular priesthood chosen, but now he's also handpicked by lot to go into this place. And he goes in, and as the smoke is happening, he's burning incense, and he feels a presence, and Gabriel is standing next to him. Obviously, he freaks out, right? Everyone who sees an angelic visitation freaks out. And so the angel says, don't be afraid. And then he says, basically prophesies that you're going to have this son. And remember, John the Baptist, he's a bridge from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Remember, John, the Old Testament ends at Malachi. And it says, and he will it'll be the hearts of, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children to the fathers. And that's exactly what he is. John is the forerunner that Malachi was talking about, so he's the bridge. But next thing you know, he does this, and look what he answers. And so Zechariah's verse 18 says, how shall I know this for certain? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. Basically, he's saying, really? Are you sure? I don't really believe you. And this was very, very bad thing to say. Because you have to really allow the Holy Spirit to help you this. What is Gabriel's response? This is what he says, basically. Hey, you know who you're talking to right now? My name be Gabriel. I think that he goes, I stand in the presence of God. How dare you question my word? I mean, this is exactly what's going on. I was reading this again. I was just getting goosebumps. Can you imagine Gabriel says, hey, man, I am Gabriel, sucker. You have no idea who you're dealing with. You know who I am? I stand in the presence of God. And Gabriel, remember, he's the archangel. And Gabriel is sent. You know, there are only a few times he's sent. He's obviously sent to Mary. Remember, he's sent to Daniel in Daniel chapter 10. It's like Gabriel, he doesn't go and run errands for the Lord unless it's really important. You know, he sends his other messenger angels do that, but he says, hey, I'm Gabriel. You have no idea. And then he says, from now on, you're not going to be able to speak. That's powerful. I mean, he really kind of lays it out there for him. And so that happens. Next thing you know, well, let me move on. And then Jesus comes up. And then so now, look what happens. The Lord goes to, angel Gabriel goes to Mary. Hey, favored one. And then now again, she ponders in her heart. And so it's like, okay, what kind of thing? But she's scared. She's troubled. Troubled is the New Testament word for scared out of my mind. So she's scared out of her mind. It says, don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor in the sight of the Lord. And he tells her basically that you're going to bear a son, and he's going to be the fulfillment of the Davidic kingdom, and his reign will never end. This is all passages from the Psalm. And then she finishes, and then now Mary's response is very different. You know, where Zechariah was like, how can we be sure about this? I'm really old. My wife's really old. You're kidding me, man. This is not going to happen. Unbelief. Mary, on the other hand, and you probably won't get it in the English translation, she's basically saying, who, me? Me? But I'm just a virgin. In other words, I'm just a very young girl. The Lord has chosen me, and it's full of so much humility. Such a vast difference from Zacharias to Mary. Zacharias, how can we be certain of this? Prove it to me, you know, angel. I mean, if an angel appearing before you is not proof enough, prove it to me, angel. And Mary is, oh, really? Me? Out of all the people in the earth? How can this be? And then the response, the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And so he answers. He didn't have to say, because I'm Gabriel and I stand at the presence of God. He just says the Spirit. And the word is actually very particular. It's the same word in the Septuagint of the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters in Genesis chapter 1. And so it's the creative, it's the same idea, the creative power of Holy Spirit as he hovers over the water and creation comes into being. In the same way, the Spirit hovers over Mary and creation comes into being in terms of life in this place. And this goes into a pattern that is probably the major theme in the book of Acts. So I'm going to spend some time to go through this a little bit. But there's this pattern, and this is the pattern. Religious leaders who are spiritual men who should know better don't. Simple people, commoners, that shouldn't know any better do. And this is the parallelism that's going to basically take us through the rest of the book of Luke. It's going to be a spiritual man is like, you should have known this, but you didn't, and they never understood the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simple nobodies, Mary, centurions, tax collectors, all these guys that should have not known anything, and they get the ministry of Jesus, and they actually receive him. I'll just throw really quick, okay? I'll just throw this out here. Chapter 7. The Jews and the centurions. The Jews demanded that Jesus go and meet with this sick person. Or the centurion said, no, don't come. Just say the word. It's so different. These Jews should have known, but they didn't. The centurion who shouldn't have known, but he understands. This is the beauty of faith in certain ways. Then we have in the same chapter 7, Simon, the Pharisee, and the sinful woman. We have, remember, the woman is the one who breaks the alabaster vial. Simon, he should have known better, but he doesn't treat Jesus like a guest. The woman, sinner, treats Jesus like the beloved guest. And as she weeps over him and, you know, wipes his her tears with her hair. She had no idea, but she understood who Jesus was. Simon, no idea. He should have known, but he didn't know. In chapter 8, Jesus' family demands to see Jesus, and but they should have known, but they didn't know who he was. And instead, his listeners, and this is when he says the famous word, who are my brothers and sisters, and the ones who listen to the word. And so they're right there. These guys understand who Jesus is. And then we have in chapter 8, we have the unpossessed Gerasenes, and then we have the demoniac. Remember, Jesus heals, delivers the demoniac, and the demoniac says, can I go with you? And then the people in the garrison say, get out of here. It's such a huge contrast, isn't it? One, right, the guy who should not have known says, can I come with you, Jesus? And Jesus says, no, go back and tell people, you know, what good things he's done for you. And then the garrisons, these guys who should have known, they say, Jesus, you need to leave from this place. It's such an incredible contrast. Those that should have known, don't. Those that should not have known, do. It's the grace of God. This continues on. Chapter 10, the priest, Levite, the good Samaritan. Probably the one parable that describes what I'm talking about the best is this passage of the good Samaritan. The Levite, the priest should have known, nothing. Instead, the Samaritan who doesn't know actually takes care of even more so. And when we get into that, we'll break it up even more. Chapter 14, the invited guests to the banquet and those that are on the street. The guys that are invited, they should have known Jesus' ministry. They don't, so they don't show up. So he goes and invites those on the streets and they come to the banquet. Chapter 15, the older brother and the lost son. The older brother should have known, but he doesn't. The lost son shouldn't have known, but he understands the ministry. Chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus. Chapter 17, the 9 lepers who get healed and the one who comes back. And the one who comes back is a Samaritan. And so he shouldn't have known, but he knows and comes back and give thanks to the Lord. Chapter 18, the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee is praying out loud, Lord, thank you that I'm not like any of these fools over here. And the publican is beating his breast and saying, Lord, have mercy on me. The Pharisee should have known, but he doesn't. The publican should not have known, but he does. We see this beauty of this thing. Chapter 19, the rich young ruler and Zacchaeus. The rich young ruler, unwilling to sell his possessions to follow the Lord. Zacchaeus that goes, I'm going to give everything back to people, more so, and I'm going to give it to the Lord. The rich young ruler should have known, but he doesn't. Chapter 21, the rich people and the poor widow. Chapter 23, the religious leaders and the thief and the soldier. This is on the cross. The religious leaders should have known, but they still crucified the Lord. And yet the soldier at the end says, this truly is the Son of God. They understood. And then the last one, chapter 24, the disciples and the women. The disciples should have known. They have no idea. The women come and say, he is risen. This is, you guys are just having a delusion right now. The woman that should not have known actually know. It's this beautiful pattern. Religious leaders, supposedly spiritual men, people who should have understood what Jesus' ministry was all about, were simply unable to comprehend him. On the other hand, simple, normal people, most of them women, if you've noticed this pattern as well, were able to almost immediately grasp the gift of God's grace that Jesus was offering them. It's a beautiful, beautiful parallel. And this theme, we're going to see the rest of the book of Luke. In fact, I mean, most of the EMPs are going to focus on this part that goes into this place. But let me just spend a moment talking about something else. Notice in Zacharias and Elizabeth, notice in verse 6, he says, they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child. And in those days, having no child or being barren was considered a curse, considered that you had some kind of sin. But Luke makes it very clear in this regard that these guys didn't have sin. They were blameless. They were upstanding. They were righteous before God. But yet they had this kind of condition. Remember yesterday I said that Luke was the champion of the marginalized. He was a champion of the dispossessed and the weak and the poor. And we see this manifest here in the sense that in Jewish culture, probably particularly barren women were probably the most despised. One of the class of people that were despised the most. And so he makes a nod to this by saying, look, you can, sometimes things happen. Just because you don't have a baby doesn't mean that you're cursed or any of these type of things. And I think that story actually bleeds into today as well. For people that are struggling to have children or something, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. I mean, listen to the words of Luke as he speaks into this. But here's another one. And this passage has helped me theologically, probably as a pastor, probably more than any other passage in the Bible. I know that sounds really, really kind of a strong statement, but I'll explain why in a moment. He says in verse 15, he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. Obviously, it's John the Baptist, and he's talking about his Nazarite vow. But yet, if you miss it, I mean, if you go by it, you'll miss this thing. And he says that he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even in his mother's womb. That is amazing. I mean, think about what that means. That means God does not need any intermediary to preach the gospel to anybody in that regard. Like, he can do it on his own. And so in this regard, we have a baby in the womb is filled with the Holy Spirit. This is why it's important to me, and it should be important to you, in the sense that, have you ever wondered, a baby dies, maybe abortion, baby dies, stillbirth, baby dies in the crib, they did not have a chance to give their life to the Lord, and we understand Adamic nature, and we think, oh man, is this baby going to hell? And I could say, no. Or maybe, you can't say it definitively, but I could say that God has the power to save, even in the womb. It's so powerful. We know that it wasn't because of Elizabeth, because we read in a couple verses later on when Mary visits Elizabeth in verse 41, it says, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the baby's filled with the Spirit. Mary comes and she hears the voice. The baby hears Mary's voice. In other words, he hears the voice of her master's mother, and the Spirit, he leaps for joy. And then when he leaps for joy, guess what? She gets filled with the Holy Spirit. So this wasn't a transference from Elizabeth. This was actually exactly what happened because of John. This is such a beautiful passage for us to recognize that God is just and God is fair. We may not know and understand all these things that happen in the world around us, but God knows. Right? And just like in the Old Testament, where people before Jesus Christ came into the picture, he says, and they reckoned him, or they imputed upon them as righteousness. Abraham believed, and he reckoned to him as faith. And so all these Old Testament characters are in heaven because they would have believed in Christ had he been here. We can set the same barometer, the same test also for these babies and other people in that way. And so again, him being a champion, I mean, who are the most marginalized in society? It's infants. And we see him being a champion over them as well. All right, I'm going to go quick here. So if you think about this, we're going to skip forward to Mary, okay? Have you ever asked that question, why Mary? Why her amongst all the other people? Sure, betrothed to David or to Joseph, tribe of David, there's lineage, all those things there. But why her? And I think really the answer is in verse 38. And she turns and says, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. And the angel departed. He liked that answer, so he went back to the throne. Think about this. She's using the feminine word of the word servant, doulos, which is doula, which is actually the same word when people give birth at home, they use a doula. It's actually the same word. It just means a female servant, or more the female slave. And think about Mary. I know that as Protestants, we don't really think about Mary too much, and maybe there's a backlash to the deification of Mary we see in the Catholic Church at times. But Mary is someone to be respected. And she basically says, and ladies, think about this, okay? I mean, just think for a moment. She basically says, okay, use my body any way you wish. How many of you ladies would like to take care of someone else's child in your own body? I think they call it surrogacy, right, in our world around us. Maybe 1% of women would actually go through 9 months and, you know, of all that stuff. Man, that's not even close to what Mary is agreeing to. She's agreeing to now being ridiculed. She's agreeing to being accused. Remember, Joseph wants to put her away because Joseph thinks that she cheated on him, which was everyone else in the village thought. And it's crazy how this works. And so she basically says, I'm your servant. I'm your slave. Do whatever you want. Brothers and sisters, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If you have that attitude, if you say, I am your doulos, I'm your doula, I'm your slave, do whatever you want, guess what? Great things will flow from your womb. And men, spiritually, your womb too, okay? I mean, isn't that crazy? If we just simply have that attitude, okay, let it be. Lord, do whatever you want. Let it be done according to your word. And what happens? Great things can flow from you. I mean, you can't get any more spiritual than that. You know what I mean? If we just simply have this attitude, Lord, here I am. Do whatever you want to do. Use my body. Use my mind. Use my connections. Use my wealth. You know what I mean? You use my intellect. Use my time. If we simply said and said, Lord, I am your slave. My life does not belong to me. Can you imagine what God can do through you if you have that kind of attitude like Mary? That's why Mary is amazing. Now, I'm going back and forth. let's go back to Zechariah, because there's one last point which I think is really important. So yesterday I talked about Luke loves song. So he records in particular two songs here. Mary's song and then Zechariah's song. Notice, first of all, when he writes his name John, and he's finally basically obedient to the Lord, as soon as he writes that, his mouth is opened up, and what's the first thing he does? He praises the Lord. It's interesting to note that that's exactly what our mouths are for. It's to bless. It's to praise. It's not to bring down. It's not to curse. It's to lift up. That's what our mouths are created for, and that's what Zacharias does. So he breaks his silence, he praises God, and then in his song, he sings this beautiful song. And notice verse 74, I want to focus on this. And he says, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Now, a huge thing happened in these 9 months in Zacharias' life. 9 months ago, Zacharias was very aware that if he went into the temple and he had any sin inside of him, he was any blemish at all, he could die on the spot. And so they went into the temple with trepidation and fear. I mean, great fear. That's why they had to take lots and people had to prepare themselves for long periods of time before they could enter into the holy place. So he knows that serving God 9 months ago was with a lot of fear. 9 months pass, and he has revelation from the Lord. And now he knows. Remember I said yesterday that Luke is waiting for the world to turn upside down? And this is how one of the aspects turns upside down. And he says, and now the servants will serve the Lord without fear. In other words, we'll have access to God. We're not going to have to be afraid of him. You know, other place, 9 months ago, he went into the holy place with knowledge that if it was not ritually clean, he might die. Serving God was fearful. And now he was singing a new song about a new world that was happening where serving God was without fear. In fact, it was love, joy, peace, thanksgiving in serving God. Isn't it great? I mean, can you imagine all you leaders, house church leaders, worship leaders, that you don't have to be afraid that you might die on the spot unless you have some kind of blemish inside of you? Even for me, as I'm preaching the word, I mean, surely there should be fear of the Lord for sure, but it doesn't debilitate us to the sense that we're afraid of him, which goes to my last point really quick. And this is, even though he was a Greek writer, he has very, very clear understanding of Jewish ideas, particularly this idea of chesed. Chesed is really the theological backbone of Jewish philosophy, theology. Chesed is translated as loving kindness, grace, or mercy, but it's actually much more than that. And the best definition I could find is this, and it's longer. From someone we should not expect anything from, we receive everything from. From someone we should not expect anything from, we receive everything from. And this is God. This is God's relation to Israel. Israel should not expect anything from God, but they receive everything from God. As the people of God, Zacharias and Elizabeth should not expect anything from God, but they receive everything from God. In Luke's writing, he translates this as mercy. But it's this incredible truth of chesed, grace, mercy, loving kindness. It's what we define grace as, but it's even broader and deeper than grace. It's you should not expect anything from somebody, but you receive everything. And that's pretty much the backbone that leads us into the book of Luke. All right, so let's close our eyes. I guess I should just warn you. I think it's just going to be long every moment, every morning, okay? Maybe we should start a little earlier. Well, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If you're a man, are you a doulos of the Lord? If you're a female, are you a doula? Are you a servant, a slave, bond servant? Some translations translate as handmaiden, which means that she was just at the attending the maid, you know, attending the woman. Are you really God's servant? Or are you saying, no, I don't want to do this, I don't do that, I don't do that. That's a bad servant. That sounds more like a boss than a servant. If we're willing to serve the Lord, be willing to be used greatly. If we're really, really willing to serve the Lord with all of our heart, be ready to bring forth incredible things into this world through your life. And let's meditate on that.
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision. See things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me vision.
Let's ask the Lord this morning, and if you're ready to, just say, Lord, be it done to me according to your word, that I am your servant, I'm your slave. Lord, let it be. In other words, God, whatever you want, yes, I agree to it, God. Whatever you want to do in my life, yes, I agree to. And let's make that confession this morning before God. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community. They're battling through cancer, going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray over our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for a spiritual awakening, that Jesus would reveal himself. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community looking for work. And let's pray for God's open doors and his provision during this time. Go to our mission focus. Let's pray for China. Let's ask God to breathe life and his spirit over this country. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu and his family and the leadership as they would continue to grow. Pray that they would be safe and covered and protected. Let's also pray for our future church plant with Pastor Ricky in Shanghai. Let's ask the Lord to build a team and God would really prepare him and Steph for this new venture. Pray for the Chong family, pray for Matt and Nate's parents, and continue to lift up the churches all over that the gospel will be preached powerfully. Let's lift up China. Let's pray for our board. Let's ask God to really use each of the leaders, just the wisdom of God, the favor of the Lord. There actually should be some changes on this. Kiwan Chung and Brian Chu have done 6 years, and they need to take a sabbatical year. And we've added Marcus Wong and Ken Tan, so they should be added to this list. And so let's just pray. Let's ask God's grace over each one, protection over their families, and wisdom to lead. Let's lift up our fellowship ministries, our young adults, single life workshop starting soon in Yahweh Eats. Pray for our men's ministry, Monday prayer, a pure desire, men's fraternity. Monday prayer is on hold for a bit as we go through our fast, but just continue to lift them up. And our women's ministry, their discipleship that's starting soon, and also lift. And let's just pray that our people would really gather together, either young people or men or women, and really spur each other to grow in Christ. Let's pray for David Wu this morning. Let's pray for humility and wisdom to complete his thesis revision. Pray for renewed mind and emotions and an active and fruitful dating life. Or better, marriage. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray for David. Let's pray for Angela Chin. Pray for reconciliation and a relationship with her mom. Pray for their family's salvation and directions and plans after her discipleship training school finishes soon. Let's lift up Angela. Let's lift up Howard Lowe. Let's pray to grow and mature spiritually. Let's pray that he would find a partner in life and opportunities for mission and outreach. Let's lift up Howard. Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you, God. We want to be your servant, Lord. We just want to be your doulos, your doula. We want to say like Mary, let it be done according to me, according to your word. God, let it be done to me according to your word, God. That we're so available, open, Lord. And because, God, each one of us, we want to be involved in doing great things with you, God. And Lord, that only happens when we're servants. The greatest is the servant of all. And so teach us, God. I pray that we'd be a servant today to you and to somebody around us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Watch over us today, God. Give us strength during this fast. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. Okay, and have a great, great day today. And we'll see you tomorrow.